Well, what a blessed day. It's a great day, isn't it? It's so beautiful outside, and it's great to see your smiling faces and all of you here. So I think it's a good day to talk about blessings, the many blessings that we have. Now, that might be a little difficult in light of the reading we just had. It doesn't sound much like a blessing. And of course, the prophets often had a difficult time. Poor Amos was called from being a shepherd and a keeper of figs to go and prophesy to Israel. And one of the things he told King Jeroboam was that you're going to lose your head. So it's a two-headed day today. So King Jeroboam, you're going to lose your head. And of course, the priest at Bethel says to Amaziah, hit the road. We don't want to hear about that bad news. That's not blessing. You should be giving us blessings. So get out of here. John the Baptizer had it even worse, of course. He was imprisoned by Herod Antipas and later lost his head, as we just heard about. Clearly, proclaiming the word of the Lord can be a dangerous business. Hopefully, I don't get told to hit the road, Jerry, or off with his head because of something that I've said. So far, no one has threatened me with that, and I hope it stays that way. But it can be difficult. It can be difficult when you're preaching the word of the Lord that oftentimes there are pressures, and many of those who proclaim the word of the Lord were thrown into prison. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world, for example, in places like China and Russia, have been imprisoned for proclaiming the gospel. And anybody that's gone through a difficult time or a time of trial can feel like they're imprisoned. We feel like we're all out on parole right now, don't we? We've been imprisoned with COVID for the last year and a bit. We're out on parole. So long as you all behave yourself, we can stay out of jail, right? So we don't want to go back into COVID jail at any point. And it can be difficult. It can be hard. And I want to focus in today on that epistle by Paul. And that sounds a little better, doesn't it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul is writing this letter from prison. He is a prisoner. This is one of his prison epistles. And so as he's preaching the word of God, he often winds up in jail. He often winds up beaten or worse. And he's shipwrecked, all kinds of terrible things that happen to him. And many times, if we're in a difficult situation, whether it's COVID, when we're suffering, and of course, those who are actually in a real prison, oftentimes their first reaction is, this really stinks. It's no fun. But Paul's in prison. And the first thing out of his mouth is praise. You may remember in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are imprisoned in Philippi, and they're singing praises to God, and a great earthquake comes, and they are released from their jail. And of course, the Philippian jailer thinks, it's my fault, I'm going to lose my head. But Paul says, do not do yourself any injury. And of course, the Philippian jailer is baptized, he and his whole household. So Paul starts by singing praises, and in every letter that Paul writes, he starts off with the praises of God. In this case, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, this passage starts with verse 3 and runs through verse 14, and in the Greek, it's one long sentence. One run-on sentence of 201 words. My brother was an English teacher. If he were grading Paul's paper, he would have put red ink all over it and said, no run-on sentences. But Paul can't help himself. He is so filled with the praises of God and what God has done for us that it just comes pouring out of him. He says, blessed be God. And we, of all people, brothers and sisters, should be a people who give blessings unto God. It should be core to who we are and what we do. If anything, the word blessing should define us. The Bible is full of blessings. God blessed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then Jacob steals Esau's blessing, if you remember that story. Jesus preaches, blessed are you, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness in his Sermon on the Mount. He blesses the little children. And then, of course, at table, he blesses the wine and the bread to become his body and his blood. Blessing is everywhere. We use it all the time. If someone sneezes, what do we say? We say, God bless you, right? We do it. When we sit down at the table, right, and it's time for a meal, maybe you grew up doing this, maybe you've gotten out of the habit, what do? We bless the food or the meal, right? We say a blessing. It's part of our culture, part of who we are. Now, in this passage, the Greek word blessing is eulogia. It's the word that we get the term eulogy from. Now, we usually think of eulogy as something in a funeral, right? A eulogy is speaking well of someone. But in this case, Paul is speaking well of God, speaking of all the blessings of God. And it actually comes out of the Jewish tradition. For example, there are many blessings. When we, before we have the table service, we said, blessed are you, O Lord God, for you give us this bread and you give us this wine. There were many benedictions, which are blessings, that were common at the time. Well, let me read one of them for you. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and revered God, the most high God, who bestows loving kindness and possesses all things, who remembers the pious deeds of the patriarchs, and in love will bring a redeemer to their children's children, for your name's sake. That sounds a lot like Paul's blessing, doesn't it? Very similar. Well, it's no surprise. Paul himself was a Jew, as Jesus was a Jew. And so they bring those prayers into their tradition and simply make them Christian prayers. So now it's instead of blessed be you, God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now it's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how about you? Are you a person of blessedness? Do you have a sense of being blessed? Do you bless God for this beautiful place, for the birds singing outside, for the sunshine, for this beautiful building, for the people around you? I think about St. Francis, and I think of this as a church that is richly, richly blessed. I could go around the room and see so many people that do so many things. We had a memorial service for Gail Loveridge here yesterday. Lovely, lovely service. And the flowers up there are in honor of Gail. And doesn't our altar guild just do an amazing job? I just pray. I hear applause up there. Amen. I say, blessed be God, because I just show up and they just do all the hard work, you know. And they ask me, what about this? And I say, you're the smart ones. You just go do it, right? They're all over it. They've got it. Our finances, we're blessed with such great people for our finances, for our sound team. There's almost more people back there. At first, there were more people. It's not true now. Thanks be to God. I would worry if that were the case. There were almost more people in the sound team back there than there were in the pews when I first showed up here. But they do such a great job back there. And all the people that do things. But, you know, it's very important that we continue to have those folks. We need teachers. We need people to serve in different capacities. So if you want to be blessed, maybe you need to be a blessing in turn. So we are blessed with so many things. But, you know, sometimes it happens as a church that we get focused on, oh, what's going to happen? You know, what's the next rector going to be? What's going to happen in the future? Are there going to be enough people in the pews? What's it going to be? It's not what we'd want it to be. And I'm not saying we shouldn't look at all the potential issues or problems or how we could do things better. There's always ways we can improve things. But the fact is, Paul starts every one of his letters, oftentimes addressing serious problems in churches, with blessed be God. And that's where we should start. There's an old gospel song that probably not sung in Episcopal churches, but I know it because it's what I grew up with. It goes, when upon life's billows we are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Blessings. We're surrounded by so many blessings. And how do those blessings come to us? They come to us in Christ. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. In Christ these things come. 11 times in these few verses, Paul tells us that the blessings of God come to us in Christ. Now, you may already know this, but the word Christ is a Greek term that translates the Hebrew term Messiah. And that term basically means anointed one. So many people in the scriptures are anointed. Priests are anointed. Kings are anointed. And anointed ones represent the broader community. So let's take the example of King David. King David was, I've been reading about this in the daily prayer this week. So King David is anointed by Samuel to be king because Saul has to hit the road because he's disobeyed God. So David is anointed, and then comes the big battle with Goliath. And David goes out and says, "Why is this Philistine mocking the armies of God?" And they said, "Well, he's big and he's tall and he's mean and I don't know." But what happens in the end is David goes and kills Goliath. Of course, you remember that from your Sunday school. And he becomes the anointed one. He kills the enemy on behalf of the entire army. And in the same way, Jesus has defeated the enemy on behalf of all of humanity. If we are in Christ, that's what happens when we're baptized. We're baptized into Christ. When we're in Christ, we are alive in Him, and He wins us the blessings. So we're a blessed people who bless God for the blessings that are ours in Christ. But what kind of blessings do we have? How long do you have? I could go on for a long time with this, but I won't. I'm just going to give you a few. If you read through this passage later on, you will see there are many, many blessings that are ours in Christ. But let me just touch on three really quickly. First, God chose us in Christ. God chose you in Christ. Remember back in the schoolyard when it was time to choose up sides for baseball or football or kickball or whatever you were playing, you know, and you maybe you were the first one chosen, or maybe you were the chooser. I was always the choosee, and because I was kind of small for my age and kind of skinny at the time, I've filled out a little bit since then. But I was one of those kids that was going, "Please don't let me be last. Please don't let me be last." Right? So some of you know whereof I speak, right? So you're thinking, but it could have been anything, right? It could have been the glee club. It could have been the school play. It could have been student council. And most of us have probably experienced some time in our life where we weren't picked. We weren't chosen. But here's the good news. You are chosen in Christ. And before the ball game was even thought up, you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And you were chosen in Christ, not just to be on the team. You were chosen to be adopted into the family of God. Adopted as children. You're children of God. With all the rights and responsibilities that come with being children. That means, look around the congregation just for a second. You know what that means? These are all your brothers and sisters. And I know sometimes brothers and sisters fight. I got two sisters right here. My daughters are right here. But now they're, I'm going to pay for that later, I'm sure. But these are our brothers and sisters that we need to live with together as a family. That's a blessing to have this family. And oh, by the way, if you're there online, hopefully you're praying for us, you're our brothers and sisters too. You're all brothers and sisters with us. We're part of the family of God. Second, in Christ, God redeemed us. The language of redemption goes back to the Old Testament. Remember the story of Israel? They were in bondage in Egypt, and God redeemed them. He brought them out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. And He did it, first of all, by the sacrifice of the Passover lambs. So everybody at the doorpost, at the door of their house, was supposed to slaughter the lamb. We've already talked about beheading today, so we might as well talk about lambs, right? So they would slaughter the lamb right at the door. And at the entrance to a door, anybody that's ever gone camping knows that you dig a trench in front of your tent door, right? That way, so you don't get water running in, right? So at the entrance to every door in ancient houses was a little trench, a little dip there, so water and things wouldn't go in. Well, they would slaughter the lamb right at the entrance to the house. And then they would take a branch and they would dip it in the blood. And God told them to put it on the lintel, which is the part over the top, and on the upright doorposts. Now, let's think about that for a moment. What does that shape make? At the bottom, at the top, and the sides. What do you get? A cross. That's exactly right. Through the blood of the lamb, the Passover happened, and we say Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And the people of Israel went out through the Red Sea, across the desert, into the promised land. We too are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we pass through this life into the promised land. But it's not just for us. God says he wants to gather all creation up into his glorious victory. God's plan is to gather everything up to himself, and heaven is right here. So God chose us in Christ. God chose us in Christ and redeemed us. And in Christ, we have an inheritance. Now, usually we think of an inheritance as something tangible, right? Aunt Tilly has died, and Aunt Tilly is going to leave me, you know, $50,000 in her house. Right? In California, the house is the better deal, right? So if you're in California. So Aunt Tilly is going to leave me this. That's my inheritance. Remember I mentioned eulogies? This is a eulogy. I have never heard a eulogy that goes something like this. Aunt Tilly died and she was really rich and had a house and she's left it to me. I've never heard anybody say that in a eulogy. Instead, what people say, now that may happen, that may be the inheritance, but what people say was, I am so blessed to have had Aunt Tilly in my life. The fact that I had Aunt Tilly to mentor me and teach me and bake me cookies and do all these things, that was such a blessing to me. And I'm going to miss Aunt Tilly. Our inheritance isn't just we get to go to heaven when we die. Our inheritance is that we get to know the power of Christ right here and now and get to live with and walk with our brothers and sisters and experience the God of heaven right now. Heaven is right now, brothers and sisters. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here at St. Francis, experiencing these blessings, you are a chosen people. You are a redeemed people. You have a great inheritance in this church alone. So what should we do? Paul says three times in this passage that all this is to the praise of God's glory. We are blessed. And so we in turn need to be a blessing to others. And a blessing to our world. And above all, you do that by being people who bless God and give praise to God and then ask, how in turn can I bless others? You're blessed, St. Francis. Let the blessings of God flow through you to a world that needs to be blessed in turn. Amen.